Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. And you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Ralph Peters is here too, ladies and gentlemen. Ralph is a new friend, but someone you probably know. You've probably seen him on television many times in the last few years talking about foreign policy, military policy, that sort of thing. But you may also know him as a best-selling author of, for example, one book, Cain at Gettysburg. He's a retired Army officer and a strategist and veteran of the intelligence world, a journalist as well, as I said, a best-selling author. His new book, which is a novel, Hell or Richmond, is out right now, and he's here to talk to about it to us about it right now. Rob Peters, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, Jim. This is just great to speak with you. And in Hell or Richmond, by the way, I know you're down there in Alabama, great state. And one of the heroes of the book is Colonel William C. Oates of the 15th Alabama.
Yep, absolutely. And, Colonel, I probably said this on the show before and over the last 15 years. I don't read fiction. I don't read novels. I don't read I just don't read fiction because I'm so busy reading current events and nonfiction. Management stuff and things like that fascinate me, that I'm very much interested in. But I have to tell you, and frankly, fiction, a lot of times the stuff bores me. But I couldn't put your book down. And that's a real compliment coming from a guy who doesn't read fiction. This is a fascinating book, and it's all about the bloodiest 5 or 6 weeks in the history of the Civil War, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Hell or Richmond. It follows Cain at Gettysburg, the last book. Mm-hmm. It's a separate book. You don't have to read them in sequence. But Hell or Richmond, while there's a little prelude in March of 1864, the book focuses on really a 30-day period from May 5th through June 3rd of 1864. And in that 1 month, there were 88,000 American casualties, blue and gray. Brutal fighting. Mm-hmm. Hell or Richmond starts with the Battle of the Wilderness. In the wilderness, where nobody wanted to fight, it's part of central Virginia. It's just brush and brambles, mm-hmm, and scrubland. Soil's not good enough to farm. Overgrown, wild. Grant and Lee, and Meade, of course, commands the Army of the Potomac under Grant. Mm-hmm. They collide in the wilderness. In 2 days, 29,000 casualties. The fighting's so brutal that many a wounded man burned to death in the thickets between the lines because you couldn't go out and get them.
Wow.
Then they move to Spotsylvania, and the fighting at Spotsylvania gets so brutal that at one point, the Confederates and the Union forces, tens of thousands of men are involved in fighting literally hand-to-hand across a breastworks, across an entrenchment, stabbing each other with bayonets, shooting each other point-blank, right against the breast or the head, clubbing each other with muskets, fighting with fists. They do this in the pounding rain and mud for 20 hours, and when the Confederates, they're buying time so Lee can construct another entrenchment line behind that line, and when Confederates finally pull out, the wounded and dead are 5 to 6 deep in these muddy trenches. Wounded men are drowning.
But all woven all through all this, though, is the backdrop of the background of what the generals are thinking.
Right.
How the politicians are influencing them, the issues between the generals having known each other, and then the relationship with the men. There's one part where toward the end of the book where they're coming together to exchange communications between the two armies, and you got Confederate and Union standing side by side having a conversation. I mean, there's all
kind of,
the dialogue is rich in this thing, folks. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm just saying, I do think I write pretty good dialogue. I'm proud of it. And the key to that was serving in the Army 22 years, enlisted an officer, because, I'm a Pennsylvania boy. Where else would a Pennsylvania boy get to know the difference between upcountry Alabama and lowcountry Alabama.
I did notice. You know, you know what they say: the victors get to write the history. I did notice a little Union slant here, Ralph, but not too much. You gave the South a fair shake. But
I try really hard. I try really hard to be fair. I mean, some books, I'm writing a series of actually four Civil War books. And just by the nature of it, some will have more Union characters, others will have more Confederate characters.
Yeah.
And in this one, you've got that great Alabaman, William C. Oates, commander of the 15th Alabama. Absolutely Faulknerian character, delight to write. John B. Gordon, Georgian, with some Alabama ties, too. You get a perfect balance, but you try.
The Civil War was, you called it, and correctly, the first of the modern wars. Modern warfare,
right,
was
really
used
was.
In this. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, I always see Gettysburg as the last Napoleonic battle with the grand charges. The commander can stand on the hill and see the whole battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
But with what's called the Overland Campaign, the book Hella Richmond covers Wilderness, Spotsylvania, Cold Harbor, you suddenly have these vast armies. The Union Army is really a machine at this point of logistics, railroads, telegraphs down to core headquarters. Lee masters entrenchments and fortifications. And the Europeans are too blind to see it, but it's a preview of the Western Front in World War I 50 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So men still on both sides still haven't figured out the impact of rifled weapons, repeating weapons, longer ranges. And these armies collide in this brutal attack on trench warfare. By Cold Harbor, the Union grand attack that fails, grand attack that he occurs, it's just a disaster with thousands of men falling in less than 2 hours.
In fact,
don't quite understand the modern war.
In fact, only months before Lee surrenders to Grant, Lee thinks he's beaten Grant, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, it's funny, in this overland campaign, in these battles, Lee and Grant, Grant's never faced anybody like Lee, and mm-hmm. Lee's never faced anybody like Grant.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep underestimating each other. Both times and we know this from the official records, this is a very accurate book, Lee thinks Grant's bound to quit because he's taken such a pounding, and Grant thinks Lee's bound to quit because he's taken such a pounding, and the result is one bloodbath after another.
Let me ask you a quick question before we go to the break. If Grant hadn't applied the Western approach to fighting, which was not standing on the ramparts watching the fighting, but actually continuing to fight at the end of the day, continuing to fight, into the night, if Grant hadn't applied that approach, what would have happened in the Civil War quickly?
Well, unless you were willing to do what Grant did and grind them down, the Confederate infantryman was unbeatable.
Yeah. And so it would have been might have been a different outcome in the war, but it certainly would have lasted longer, I think. Quick break.
Indeed.
Hold on to that thought, folks. We're going to be right back and talk some more about Hell or Richmond, Ralph Peters' brand new novel, and it's outstanding. 20 after. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.